We're going to bring with the mission on the top of Lama Tedemun Aleph. If Shoshir Pikeach, Shnagash Shoshir Charesh Shoshir Katan Chayav. You have a person who has a shor that damages the shor belonging to a cheresh shoteh v'katan, or not necessarily b'nei dat, he would be chayav. Mishal cheresh shoteh v'katan shenagach shosh u'pikeach. On the other hand, a cheresh shoteh v'katan, whose shor was nogeach, a regular person's shor, someone who was a bar dat, patur. Sher shal cheresh shoteh v'katan shenagach beidin ma'amidin lahem apitropos. Beidin establishes for them somebody to, right, an executor to the estate, and then they give the edut to make it into a shur muad before the apotropos, before the executor. If the cheresh gets better, is able to hear, or nishtafa shote, that the person who was not a sound mind becomes a sound mind, or the katan becomes of age. Rabbi Meir believes that it goes back to its original sesh of tam. Rabbi Yossi Omer, we're going to see in the Gemara, this machok is about whether shinoi reshut changes the status of the animal.
Is it
Rabbi Yossi Omer, harihu b'chezkato, remains in the same status. The animal hasn't changed in this manner. So the ikar machlokas is whether when you change ownership, or the person who takes over, here it's going to be ownership from the executor to the, right, the actual person. In these instances, does that change the status of the shore? And you could see the possibility that maybe if they treated it differently, if they watched it differently, something might change about the shore. Or do we say no, that it's the animal, the behavior of the animal is what dictates over here, and it's irrespective of who is owned or has the animal. Shore tzadin eno chaya. A shore tzadin is a, from the word stadium, but a shore that's used in bullfights, that's trained to gore. It's not chayav mita. It's in kel shenemar ki gach lo shi gichu. It has to be that something that came unnaturally to the shore that he goes ahead and kills. But if he's trained to kill, and that's what he does, right, then we can't blame the shore for that behavior. We can't say that that's extraordinary behavior.
Even if it's done in the middle of the street?
Yeah, because he's trained. That's what he's trained to do. He's trained to kill. Hagufa kasha. Right? The mission itself is an internal stira. Amar shosho chereshote v'katan shinagach shosho pikeach patur. It's indicative. Alma. That seems from the Mishnah that we do not establish an executor to get payment out of these cherishot v'katam when it comes to a tam. But what are you going to do with the second half of the Mishnah? Start to gore, then we put up an executor. So we make it into a mu'at. Alma. Sounds like we put up an executor because otherwise, right, we couldn't get to the point where it would be Muad unless there was an executor there when they were Tom. So just to take a sidebar here, but the Machlokas Rashi, Tosfos, that what is the issue here? Why do we not, right, or why do we not establish or have a Tom pay me Gufo from a Cheresh Shote V'Katan? Rashi brings two possibilities of why we don't do it. The first of which is that we know that you only Goveh Minechatzim sheish lemachrayut. When it comes to Yitomim, we only take it from real property. We only govet from real property. On the other hand, a short tam, when it comes to a short tam, he is govet migufo. Govet migufo is metalkalin. So since we're only govet minechatzim sheish lemachrayut, and not from metalkalin, that would preclude us from being govet from the gufa shore here that does damage. And that's why we're not govet from these tanim or from the Yitomim. On the other hand, once we're mamid apitropos and it reaches the point of being a muad, once it's a muad, then we don't necessarily pay migufo. We can go and make mishtalei mitoch karkos, and we can take the payment out of the estate, which could be the real property. Second possibility is Rashi brings down, which he rejects, is the possibility that we believe that palga nizka kanto, that the chatzi nezek that's paid by short tam is a knas and not mamon. So since it's knas, we have a principle in general that yatmei lavnei kanto. Right, that the Yitomim are not qualified to pay Knas, and therefore they would be precluded, or they out of the parsha of Knas here, and therefore they wouldn't have to pay when it was Tam. Rashi rejects that because of the part of our Gemara that says, right, Eima midim apitropos latam legavot migufo. So it sounds like the issue that the Gemara is having is that legavot migufo. Not the issue is not that it's a Knasa, but rather that you're govem migufo. And this doesn't tell you anything about, this doesn't speak to la gavot mi gufo. The kanta issue is irrespective of gufo or not gufo, has to do with the type of payment that you are making. Tosfos rejects Rashi's even first interpretation. Why? Because when we say you can't be gulveh from Yitomim, only from real property, that's when it comes to the obligations of their father. When their father's obligations that are left over after he dies, then we say they can only be gulveh from the real property, not from the Nechassim, Shein Laisim, not from the Talpulim. So what is the issue over here that we can't take from the Yitomim?
The famous Mishnah.
Right. Very good. So Tosfos quotes that Gemara and says that right, you can't use that as the explanation over here. Right, when you say Gamen Lamar Mishum the Ihu Gufe Kimazik Potur, when the Yotam himself, this is what David says, when the Yotam himself does damage, Pigatan Ra, he doesn't pay. So therefore, Mamona lo kosher gain. So his property also should be potur. So says that's not true, because we see in other places where someone goes overseas, Medina Tayam. So nevertheless, even though he has a din like a cheresh when he goes to Medina Tayam, nevertheless we make his mamon chayav for anything that it does, and we set up an executor. So we see that they're independent issues. That the issue of Kiyatan Ra about their own damage versus the damage of their mamon are independent issues. Stosis rejects that possibility. The last possibility and what Stosis suggests over here is that Ishlamar the Tam, what's the reason, the whole reason why Tam is came to Chas Rachman al Tam, Shalay Shalim Nezek Shalim. Right? That the whole idea of Tam is that you only pay Chatzin Ezek. Chatzin Ezek, right, is a Rachman that was Chas on the Chatzin Ezek, and therefore the Gabi Yatme Chashu Alayu. So too by Yitomim, we're not going to press to get payment out of there. We see that the Torah was already had a little Rachamim over here. Instead of that Rachamim, we're going to continue to be in the path of the Torah, which is be Rachmanim, and that we're not going to go and be Gulveh from the Yitomim. That's Tosfos' suggestion. Obviously, that's Gabe Palga Niska Mamonahu, who says it's Chas Rachman. According to one who says Palga Niska Kantahu, then you can come up with other reasons. But this is, according to one of Palga Niska Mamonah, it says it has to do with the having Rachamim. Now, how do we solve this problem, this internal stira in the Mishnah? Right, the first part of the Mishnah seems to say no executor. The second half of the Mishnah says, yes, Apitropos, yes, executor. So, Amar Abba, Hachitani, this is how to explain the Mishnah. Im chushkuku nagachnin, maminim lehem apitropos, umidim lehem ifne apitropos. Now, once the animal becomes mukzak as a nagchan, then we establish for them a apitropos. Umidim lehem ifne apitropos. Then we are meid before the apitropos. Umishavinim lehu mu'ad. Then we make it into a ma'at. Right, so then when it's a pay, they pay from the estate, right, the full estate, not from the kufo of the tam. So we've eliminated the Gemara's problem, how could we go there from the nechassim of a yatom mi gufo, according to Rashi, either because that's nechassim shem v'yem afayud, or the Tosfos because we are merachem on them, because we're not go there money when it's a tam. All we do is we say once it's established a pattern of becoming a mu'at, we appoint an executor, and then we warn that executor as it comes to damage, and once he reaches the status of mu'ad, then only then will we collect from the executor, only once it reaches the level of mu'ad.
It seems to me that they appoint the apotropos, and then the edim that saw the three previous negichos are made, and immediately he becomes mu'ad.
So that totally answers your question, but that's not possible, because we learned before, right, whether it's Yehudei Torah or Yehudei Gavra. Right, how do you establish a mu'at? So it's good, what you're explaining, it works well according to one who says Yehudei Torah. That has to do with the animal. As long as the animal has been, we've seen three, says Vedim, have seen it gore three times, then you're fine because you've been established as a mu'at. So it says that's not true of Yehudei Gavra. You have to warn the individual, it means you have to bring the person who's responsible to Vedim three times and be made that they are nagchanim, that is nogah, and that would be only then would he be established as a mu'at. So Tosfos suggests, what does it mean nagchan here? So it says nagchan means that it's now become established a pattern of being a wild animal. It's a bad shore. It's a bad shore and it's a nagchan. Then, only then, once
it didn't necessarily do the negichos.
Right, or we're seeing its behavior. It's a wild shore, it's being bad shore. And then only then, after we appointed the executor, it goes in court three times with warning, that would establish it as a shore nagah, or shore mu'ad. Right, so it's not, your explanation would work only according to what it says, right, that it goes, Yehudei Torah. But for Yehudei Gavra, we have to establish that the executor gets warned three times. Now, once we have an executor to the estate, we've established it's a mu'at, who pays the damages now? Who is responsible for this shor? That's what my answer. Me'ali Atman. Who pays the money here? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Me'ali Yitomim, that the Yitomim are responsible. We appoint an executor to help them, but in the end, it's their mamon that did the damage, and it's going to come out of their estate to pay for the damage. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanino, Me'ali Atapichopus. comes out of the executor. He's the one who is obligated to be Shomeret. Right? If he's the one who's obligated to be Shomeret, then he should be also the one obligated to pay for the damage. It's a little bit, we remember we went earlier in the Masechta, we discussed it at Chatira and Mazik. What's the reason that one is Chayav for Nezek? Is the Chiyuv and Nezek have to do with the Ishmira, the lack of Shmira that was done, and who was obligated to be Shomer here was the Apitropos. So his Ishmira, his lack of Shmira, is what causes the payment here, and that's why he is Chayav. On the other hand, you can believe that the Chiyuv and Nezek is to, right, the compensation, or to recompense the one who was damaged, and that should be the obligation of whoever's property it is, and that would be the obligation of the Yitomim. It's not, I don't think it's Mukhraf here, but you could suggest that this Machlokas revolved around this concept of what is the obligation of a Mazik. We're going to see in a second that's not the case. It might have a different explanation for the Machlokas, but you could suggest such.
According to Yossi Bar Chanina, the only incentive for an apotropos would be if you were to get some kind
of... Okay, so very good. So the Gemara's going to ask, very good. The Gemara's going to ask that question, and that's going to be the Ikar HaMachlokas between them. Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. The Rabbi Yochanan really established such a principle. Amar Rabbi Yud, Amar Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Asi. Ein Yitzkakim, Nichse Yitomim, Elein Kein Bibit, Ochelet Behen. So Rabbi Asi says that we don't touch the chazim of the Yitomim to pay anything that they owe, or any damages, anything that they have to do, we don't touch their estate until they become of age, except for if they have, their father left them a contract or some sort of loan that has ribit. Why? Because then by waiting, there's a loss. Right, so there's an advantage to dealing with the issue now rather than waiting. Anything else, there's an advantage to waiting versus to paying up early. Yochanan Amar, Olu Shtar Sheish Bo Ribit, whether it's, right, a Shtar Ribit, Olu Ktubat Isha, Mishu Mizone, or Ktubat Isha, as long as you don't pay out the Ktubat Isha, she's entitled to Mizonot from the estate. So again, they could lose out that way, so there's an advantage to dealing with it early. So you see from Yochanan, what? We don't touch the estate of Yitomim. Yet over here, Rabbi Yochanan is suggesting that the estate of Yitomim will be exposed or be culpable for the damage done by the short. So what says Ipuch? Flip around the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Ma'aliyat HaPitropsin. So that comes out of the executor. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Ma'aliyat HaYitomim comes out of the pocket of the estate. So now Rabbi Yochanan would be consistent when she says we don't touch the estate of the Yitomim. So Amar Rava, listen to this, is amazing. Mishum the kasha Rabbi Yochanan to Rabbi Yochanan. Because we have a question between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan. Mishavet le Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina to'eh. We're going to question Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, we're going to make him into a mistake. So it's clear who Rava thinks the halacha is like, and it's clear that they think that the halacha is that you take it out of the executor's pocket. Now he's saying what? Because Rabbi Yochanan is a problem and it's zero, we're going to ruin Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's position. Why? By Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, dayonuhu. Right, he's a dayon. He knows, he understands when it comes to pesach halacha. First of all, he understands. Rashi says something interesting. Lo kamar nizkakim echse yitomim. He's a dayan. He's a dayan. And therefore, he would never say that you touch the estate of Yitomim. Not sure what the correlation between being a dayan is and that, but generally, I thought the point of the Gemara is that he's involved. He's not just theoretical halacha. He's someone who knows the halacha of the master. Someone who knows the halacha of the master means you don't touch the estate in particular.
He
wouldn't go down or be touched the estate of a Yitomim because that's the whole idea of Basin. Basin's there to protect the Yitomim. And if they're out to protect the Yitomim, he wouldn't let anybody get access to the estate. Therefore, probably, right, you can't. Elolam lo tipuch. Don't flip around the positions here. Umazik shiny. It's different. I mean, their mazik is different. When it comes to Rabbi Yochanan says in general, you don't touch the estate of the Yitomim. On the other hand, when they do damage, when you have a mazik here, that's a different category. That goes back to what we just spoke about before, that maybe mazik, the mafil or the mechayu of a mazik might be different, right, than the mafil or the chiyu by other obligations. Now, what is their machlokas? This is what Tzvi wanted to know. Wait a minute. Who's going to ever agree to be an apichopus, right, if he's going to give you our money? That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Me'aliyat Yitomim comes out of the estate. The Amar Me'aliyat Apichopus, because if you suggest that we take it out of the apichopus' executor, Mameva go out there. Exactly what you said, Tzvi. Nobody's going to want to do this. Who is ever going to want to be the executor of the estate of Yitomim when all he has is downside? There is no upside to his position. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Me'aliyat Apichopus. Why? If you take it out of the executive state, the chosen in Ephraim in a Yitomim l'chigadle. Right? That when they get older, when they come of age, you do go get the money back for the executor. So he's only out of the money until the time or time that they come of age. Which is interesting. So Rashi says, why does Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina say that? Because even though Mam Nevel Abdes, we don't allow them to get paid back in the long run, nobody's going to go ahead and, right, become a Apitropos. Now Tosfos discusses the possibility, or a machlokas here, about what's the status of an executor. When is an executor patur, meaning that here he comes and does something? When do we put the obligation on the estate for losses? And when do we blame the apitropus? So there is Tosfos on the previous sum at the bottom of Lama Tempran Alva brings down, says, Kamedaktik Rav Chaim, the apitropsim lo mishamli afilu pashu'u b'shel yitam yatme. That apitropsim won't pay, even in an instance when they are poshim, like in our case. Our case, they are somewhat poshim here, and they didn't take care of the shmirah of the animal. They were warned to take care of it. They didn't take care of it. And yet the money is coming out of the Yisomim's estate, either now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, or according to Rabbi Yosef Rechanina, at a later date. He's not out money. So from here he wants to prove that apitropus, even when they're negligent, is not on the hook for the money. So this brings an alternative opinion, that Rabbi Shlomo Bachor, Rabbi Yosef, dictates the Mishalmi Pshia. In a case where there's posheya, then you do pay. So then they ask him from this case, right here, what are you going to do with this bit? Asha kosha dadi, vomari, v'dadai machayiv apitropus, l'sham shir v'lom amne, ben minhu avi yitomim, ben minhu beidin. When it's appointed by the father of yitomim, or the father, or the beidin appoints them, then they're never going to stop from doing it. Why? Because they get a samchut, which is what we discussed in the Gemara in the past, that when Basin appoints someone as a Neman, or the father Yitomim, who appoints them, we know he appoints them because he did him some Tovah during his lifetime, and it's a returning the Tovah now. So there are reasons for the executor to accept the position, irrespective of the loss that it might cause him, because he's either getting a Shem Nemanus, or he's able to pay back his father something that he owed them. On the other hand, in our case over here, is a unique case. Why? Because we're not appointing the apitropos, the executor, on the benefit of the Yitomim. Why are we appointing an executor in our case? We're worried about the other people. People are worried that this shore is going to go around damaged, and nobody's going to be able to collect against this shore. The appointment of the executor is not to protect the Yitomim. It's not because based on Yitomim and Emma, until we appoint an executor, nobody will get paid. So there is no advantage and no benefit to the Yitomim by having an executor. Once we appoint the executor is all for the benefit of others, meaning that the whole appointment of the executor now just makes him exposed because of, right, the protection of society at large. And in that case, the Rebbe says, in that case, people will be mamnei v'labdik. They're not going to be willing to do it, because again, it doesn't show any directed nemanos from Beis Din to manage the estate. It doesn't show any akaras hatov to the original owner. All this is about public policy. So it's like being appointed, being a political appointee. And so in that case, again, there's not necessarily any advantage to the executor, and therefore he'll be mamnei v'labdik if he's going to be exposed, right, monetarily to doing this. Who's going to want to be exposed monetarily to do some public good here, to do tikkun olam? That's how the Rebbe distinguishes between these two types of cases, where the one instance of the executor will be on the hook for the pshia, because he's getting some sort of benefit, either because he's a neman or because he's doing akaras hatov. Other than when he's public policy and we're appointing the executor and not to the advantage of the Yisomim, in that case we'll say that mimnei v'labdik, they won't do it because there's no benefit, there's no direct benefit to them, and therefore they are we won't put them on the hook for the money, otherwise they won't do it.
So why do you give them a personal knas? Why don't you build a basin or city hall or something? Like, isn't there some concept where
They will stop. That's not helping the society at large, right?
The
society at large is one paying in the money and then they're getting it back. I mean, that we're not preventing any loss of money here to society at large. Alright. So now, the Gemara says, that concept we said, so to this point, we assume that you cannot appoint an executor to collect out of the goof of the tam. Right, so that Gemara says that is a tnahi. That happens to be a machlokas tanaim, whether we do appoint an executor to collect out of the town. Why? The tanya shor shenitcharshu ba'alav v'shenishtatu ba'alav shalchu ba'alav v'medinat hayam. Right, so all these cases where you have a baal go incompetent or not available. Yehuda ben Nikusa amar tzumus harehu b'tamuto ad she'idu bo b'fnei ha'balim. It remains a tam until you are meid before the balim to make it into a mu'ad. And then you give the warning in front of a apitropos. The cheresh is able to hear again. He becomes a sound mind again. The shoteh. The katan grows up to be what of age. Or the owners return. goes back to its original status, until they are meid again in front of the new owners, quote unquote new owners. Yosi Amar Yidu Bechezkato remains in the same status.
It wasn't Chazar. It was always in the Tamos. It wasn't Chazar with Tamos.
Oh, very good. So that's a smart question. Amar Rumai Harihu Betamuto, the Kamar Sumkus. What does it mean that it remains in its tamuto? When Sumkun says before, Hari Hubit Tamuto, Achi Itabo Bisnei Balim, what does that mean, tamuto? Ilim et Loma Yayit Klau. If you say it never became a muad at all, that's the position of Sumkun, that you have V's question. Amitai Seifa, Chazal et Tamuto. It went back to being a tam. Mechlau the Yayit. Right? That suggests that it was once a muad. But how did you ever get to a muad according to Sumkun? Because, according to Sumkun, Hari Hubit Tamuto. It always remains a tam. Elamai Hari Hubit Tamuto. Hariyu b'tamito lo mechasrinim lei remains a tam because we never are gove migufo of the animal. I mean that we don't appoint an executor to take or to be gove from the tam. So that alma aiming and mizim b'pichupas for tam the gavot migufo. That's the position of Sumchus. Sumchus says we don't appoint an executor to collect out of the shore itself, out of the gufo of the shore, but we do appoint an apichupas so that when it becomes a muad, we can collect out of the animal.
B'chamim
omei ma'amidim.
They have apitropos. We can collect out of the animal
when it goes to the wild? No, when it goes to the wild, we collect out of the estate based on the appointment of the executor or from the executor's pocket, depending on the machlokes we saw before. B'chamim omei ma'amidim lehem apitropos. U'meirin lehem b'fnei apitropos. Then, according to B'chamim, no, we do appoint an apitropos to when it's a tam. Alma. Ma'amidim apitropos l'tam l'gavot mikufo. Therefore, we see from the Chachamim that you do have such a concept that you will be golden migufo of the executor. So we see a machlokas kanoihim
as to whether, from or not.
Right, whether you go from tam based on appointing an executor, right, migufo.
So it will always be migufo.
Right, when it's a tam, it will be migufo. That the Sumchus says no, the appointment of the executor is only to get to the status of muad, so we can collect out of the estate. Right, and the Chachamim knows, they know, even at the point of tam, if we have an executor there, we're going to collect migufo. The seifa like a mislegay. So then, what's the machlokas in the seifa? Rishut mishaneh ika bin ayu. This is what we had discussed in the Mishnah, that the change of ownership will change the status of the animal. Sumkut saba rishut mishaneh. Sumkut believes that when you change ownership, quote unquote, or there's a new responsible person for the animal, then what? Then the status of the animal changes. Whereas, if Yosef saba rishut ainu mishaneh, it doesn't matter who's the animal changing status. Right, the animal remains. So again, you can formulate it, we did before, we formulated one way is, what's the reason that Mazik is Chayav? Either because of Ishmira, this Ishmira, maybe a new Shomer here, right, makes the possibility that there's a new start. Right, on the other part of it, the whole point of payment is the compensation, to recompensate, once the shore is a Mu'ad, right, and it has to compensate, doesn't matter, right, who is the technical owner over here.
Maybe you can connect it to the machloket if you're, who do you have to be made against? If it's against the shore or against the belt?
Right, so that was the first way we formulated on the previous amulet, which is, what it matters here? Does it matter that the owners are in charge, and therefore new ownership might require a new ha'adah, like David is suggesting, or it's the shore. Once the shore is established, it's mu'ad, irrespective of who the owner is.
What happens if someone sells a shore?
Right. After the change of rishut, there's all these will be the same issue. David, right now, none of these are mukhraq. You could explain it the other way also. I'm just suggesting that these are possibilities of ways to explain the makhluk. Okay, now, Tarabanan. Shor cheresh shotev katan, shinagak. What happened, right, to a shor cheresh katan that is nagak? Rabbi Yaakov mishalom chatzi nezek. Rabbi Yaakov pays chatzi nezek. So where it says, Rabbi Yaakov ma'avite. Why is Rabbi Yaakov paying chatzi nezek? I mean, what did he do that he has to pay chatzi nezek? Ella Ema, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Mishalem na Chatzi Nezek. Alright? Phrase it properly. That's Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Mishalem Chatzi Nezek. Now that the Gemara's gotten through this little, joke here. Right? But now, why does Rabbi Yaakov come and say that they pay Chatzi Nezek? What is the case here? Even Tam, if we're talking about Tam Pshita, right? That's Pshita, the Kul Deyami, Nami Chatzi Nezek, Kul De Mishalem. What's the question here? Nobody with the Tam pays more than Chatzi Nezek. So what's the issue in here? Viva Muad. Right, if it's a muad, the avdilei shmira klal, right? Then if they made any sort of shmira when it comes to the shore muad, the klal lo by the shlumin, they should be poser begamre. They do avdilei shmira, if they did no shmira at all, then kulin ezek by the shlumin, they should be chayav for the full amount. So, what is Rabbi Yaakov coming to teach us here?
Why is it if they do shmira, they don't have to pay anything?
Right, because we're going to see in a second, the Gemara is going to learn that shmira pukuta by a muad, is a gzeirat ha-katuv that any form of shmirah is sufficient by mu'ad, and you'll be patur when you do a shmirah p'chuta. That would be sufficient over here. So now, Amar Rabba. Yes, so that's very good. Very good. Everybody's on the ball today. Amar Rabba. The Olam B'Muad. We're talking about the Muad. The Hachabai Kinan, the Abde Shmir Pachuta, below Abde Le Shmira Me'ulam. They did a lower form of Shmira, not a higher form of Shmira. V'Rav Yaakov Tavala Ki Rav Yehuda. Right? Rav Yaakov holds like Rav Yehuda. One is, Rav Yehuda has some unusual positions. One of them is, Tamar Sad Tamud Bimkoma Omedet. That a Shur Mu'ad is really the compensation, full compensation of Shur Mu'ad is made up of two parts. One half, 50% of it is the payment of a tam, and the 50% is the additional amount added on by a mu'ad. But that first 50% is still classified as a tam. B'savar like Rabbi Yehuda, this is what Shaul was suggesting, tamar mu'ad, segilei b'shmirat chuta. He also holds like Rabbi Yehuda's position, that when it comes to shor mu'ad, it's sufficient, right, to have a shmirat chuta. And lastly, b'savar like Rabbanon, tamar mamini apichopos l'tam l'gavot mikufo. Right, so therefore, here are Mamid, Apitropos, Tritam, the Gavot Mikufo. So now what do you have here? Based on all these three opinions that Rabbi Yaakov holds over here, oh, so why is this high of Chatzin Ezek here? Lo Pater of Yehuda, Alat Sad Ha'adat Shepo, Alat Sad Tamut, Fim Koma Omeret, V'tam Lo Lasagi Le Bishmira Pchuta. The Tam side is not enough with the Shmira Pchuta, to Lo Miyatri Beikram, because we don't have a specific example custom to say that you can have a lower form of Shmira by a Tam. Even though what it is, right? Tzadam u'mgufei mishalem. Itzalei Rabbi Yaakov mamidim apichopus. Let's say the gavot mikufei kerabanan. The pelik leit sumchos. He holds like kerabanan who say that you can't be mamid apichopus to pay out of the tzad tamut shabo. Now we go look at this animal. This animal is now a mu'ad because we had right. We had three warnings to an apichopus. He did a shmirah pchuta. They did the proper shmirah for it according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is Rabbi Yaakov's position. Therefore, the tzad hadah, the 50% that belongs to mu'ad, patur. Now, the 50% that is left over, that's a tam. Right? Oh, now the shmirah pchuta was not sufficient, so now you're chayat. Wait a minute, we're talking about Yitomim. Yitomim with an executor can't pay. No, he holds like the chachamim, would say that Yitomim with an executor can't pay out of the tzad tamutubo, so that'll be the 50% that you pay. And that's the position of Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov says, chatzi nezek, we're talking about a mu'ad. Right, that had all these issues, and because he holds all these opinions, there's a chatzin ezek paid by tzad mu'ad. So I'm really a bag of fleeger. What do you mean? They really not argue? What do you mean? Does Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov really not argue? Why is that? Va'atani, you have a price. Shor shacharis shotu v'ktan shnagach. Rabbi Yehuda mitchayev. Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayav. Rabbi Yehuda omer chatzin ezek with the mishalein. Rabbi Yaakov says it's chatzin ezek. Now wait a minute. If Rabbi Yaakov's position is all premised on Rabbi Yehuda, then how could they be arguing? Excuse me, and there's rights over here. Rabbi Yehuda is saying Nezek Shalem, and Rabbi Yaakov is saying Chatzin Ezek. So Amar Rabbi Barula, Mashi Mechayev Rabbi Yehuda, Perish Rabbi Yaakov. Ain't no Konami. When Rabbi Yehuda says Chayav, we don't know what it means. How much is Chayav? And that's what Rabbi Yaakov comes to explain. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda, when he says Chayav, he means Chayav Nezek Chatzin Ezek. So Rabbi Yaakov is coming to define or to explain the position of Rabbi Yehuda.
In the case of Hadar, which we have Pusa.
What? Hadah, that is Shmirah Pechuta, that is executor for Yitomim. Right, he's explaining all the exposition, he's explaining it. Well, the Bayi Damar Kligay, but my Kligay. But the Bayi, we said, thinks that in the Brisa they do argue. So according to the Bayi, what are they arguing about? What's the difference in opinion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov? Amalacha, Hakam Amayaskinan. Here we're dealing with Bimu'ad, the low natural cloud. The case where it's a Mu'ad, and he didn't watch it at all. Rabbi Yaakov Sarver Lach Rabbi Yehuda Bechado Upoligalei Bechado. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda in one part of his position and disagrees with another. Sarver Rabbi Yehuda Bechado Dila Rabbi Yehuda Sarver Chad Tamut Bimkom Omedet. Right, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in the sense that a Mu'ad is made up of 50% Tam and 50% Mu'ad. Upoligalei Bechado, and he argues him on the other point. Dila Rabbi Yehuda Sarver Ma'amidilei Ma'pichopos L'tam L'gavot Mikufo. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you put up a apitropus, the gavot mi gufo, so the tzatamut you can pay from. Rabbi Yaakov Sabar, ein mamidim. Right, that you don't be mamid, the lo mishalei mel paga demuad, and therefore you only pay the paga demuad. Now again, what happened over here? He has a shor that we have an executor. The executor is won three times, the shor becomes a muad. Shor goes out and damages now. What type of shmira was done over here? No shmira at all. No shmira at all means I am chayav. Well, what part am I chayav for? Well, that depends. The 50% that's mu'ad, I am chayav for, because we do collect from Yitomim out of a mu'ad. So that I'm on the hook for. Both Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda agree for that 50%, we are on the hook. The other 50% is what? according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov, that it's Tam Tzad Tamut from Komo Meret. Still, that 50% is still classified as Tam. And their machlokas, the nekudat of machlokas between them will be whether when you have a Tam with you till me and you establish an executor, can the executor claim out of the Tam Migufo? That's exactly the question here. Rabbi Yehuda believes you can claim out of the Tam Migufo, like the Tamim above, that if you want me to an executor claim out of the Kufo, therefore you pay Nezek Shalim. 50% for the Mu'ad because you were negligent. The 50% for the Tam because we appoint an executor to collect me Kufo. On the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov says, no, the Tzad Mu'ad, I agree with you. You get that 50%. But the 50% of the Tam you do not get. Why? Because I believe you cannot appoint an executor to claim out of the Gufo, Tam Gufo of a Yitzhomim. And that will be the machlokes between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda over here. So now the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Yaakov Barabai, the Rabbina, Bishlam Alei Rabbi, according to Rabbi, it makes sense, Amar Plige Shapir. Then all of this makes sense because he says that they argue. Why? Because then he can establish the case when Rabbi Yaakov made a statement before. Where Rabbi Yaakov says, Rabbi Yaakov Mishalem Chatzi Nezek, right? What, how do we explain that statement of Rabbi Yaakov? He plays so you can establish that that was a Mu'ad. Right? Establish that it's a Mu'ad because you can't establish it as a Tam because he believes that you can't collect that of a Tam. So the case is that it's a Mu'ad, and he comes to teach you that when it's a Mu'ad, you can collect that of the Tzad Mu'ad Shavuot. That's the Chiddush that he's telling us. On the other hand, right, according to right the Rabbin, Bishlam Alam Bai Damar Pligay Shapir, the Rabbo, Damar Lo Pligay, according to Rabbo, says there is no argument over here, and he explains that Rabbi Yaakov, right, has really explained the position of Rabbi Yehuda as a Mukilab Mu'ad. Why are you establishing the case for Rabbi Yaakov before as a Mu'ad? Establish it Bitam, right? Because you could have been a Tam. Either Rabbi Yehuda is obviously Shmir Pachuta, below as a Shmir Mu'ula, and why would you be Chayab by Tam? According to Rabbi Yehuda, be chayav by tam if you only did a normal level of shmirah. You didn't do super shmirah by a tam. By a tam, that makes you chayav. That's negligent by a tam. If you're negligent by a tam, right, you got to pay chatzi nezek. And Rabbi Yehuda believes that you can collect out of mamidim apichopus, and therefore it should be a problem. Well, either Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the love is a shmirah klal. Or according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he says, you know, that by a tam, you also only need a shmirah pchuta, that he didn't do any shmirah. The Tanya, we have a bright silver, the Lazar Yaakov, Mera, Echad Tam, Echad Muad, Shmira Pchuta, Turin. Shmira Pchuta is sufficient, a regular form of Shmira is sufficient both for a Tam and a Muad, right? So, Vaha Kamash Kulan, Rabbi Yaakov, the Mamidim, Lahem Apitropim, the Tam, the Gavot Mikufo. And we can learn out of Rabbi Yaakov. What would be the Chiddush if we say that it's a position of Tam? It would be a Chiddush that Rabbi Yaakov is coming to teach us that we are Mamidim Apitropos to collect that of a Tam. So according to Abaye, it makes sense why we establish it as a Mu'ad. That is a Mu'ad because you can't establish it as a Tam. According to him, Rabbi Yaakov disagrees that you're allowed to be mamid an executor to take money from a Tam, according to Abaye. And therefore, the only way you can get the Chatzi Nezek, according to Rabbi Yaakov, is by a Mu'ad. That's why before we established the Brisa that Rabbi Yaakov says, paying Chatzi Nezek is Mu'ad. But according to Rava, you can come up with a case both by Mu'ad and by Tam where you would pay Chatzi Nezek. By Mu'ad, again, the same case, but by Tam also. By Tam, Rabbi Yaakov believes you can be Mamid Apotropos, according to Rava. If you can be Mamid Apotropos, just say it was a Tam that did Nezek, right? And you're Mamid Apotropos, and you're collecting Chatzi Nezek out of the Yitzhomim. So why do you have to explain that price of Rabbi Yaakov was only being by a Mu'ad? Amalei Hafti Kamar, this is what it means. Chad is the Itbe Tarti Taima. It's one thing that has two reasons to it. Establish that as a Tam, in Ochanami, that you would know, right, you could pay Chatzi Nezek. But you'd only learn from that that the position of Rabbi Yaakov is, one, that you can appoint an executor to collect as a Tam Mikufo. If you establish it as a Mu'ad, I can learn two things out of this. What's that? I can learn, number one, you're allowed to appoint, right, you're allowed to appoint an executor to collect. And number two, I can learn out
that a Shor Mu'ad is sufficient with a Shmirah Pchuta.
Now, Ravina suggests that there's a different machlokas between them over here. The difference between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda has to do with their Rishut Mishaneh Ikomeinayo. Whether when it changes possession, does it change status? I mean, they'll agree with everything else. It remains a mu'ad, and therefore you'll pay nezek shalem. Rabbi Yaakov Savar, Rishut Mishaneh, will go back to being a tam, and therefore you'll pay chatzi nezek. So again, their opinions will be identical, except for the Rishut Mishaneh, which is the second part of the machlokes between sumchus, right, and Rabbi Yossi, and the brisa that we saw above. Okay, we'll stop over here.